south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, a lot of people ask me about my theme song, South of the Border. It's sung by Dean Martin, of course. Sinatra does a nice version too, but Dean, you know, he's kind of loose and swings it a little better, probably because he's got more than a couple of dry martinis in him. And people have commented saying, Johnny, the song says south of the border down Mexico way. And of course, you know, I don't recommend Mexico to live, work, play, and or retire. Not anymore, anyway. Though I do highly recommend it for a nice, short, relaxing trip on one or another of those cheap, all-inclusive package deals. That's always a great time. Now, of course, there's a lot of reasons I don't recommend Mexico. Way too many gringos, for one thing. By the way, if you live in one of those gringoized areas in Mexico, you'll know it's not too safe to wander too far from there. But that's another story. While parts of the Yucatan Peninsula are absolutely fine and beautiful, for now. But will the nastiness spread? You bet. Especially when the next economic shoe falls up in the States, since Mexico and the U.S. are so intricately related. That's when all that massive remisa dough coming from illegals up in the States to their families down in Mexico will dry up. And when that slows to a trickle, who do you think desperate locals used to that monthly influx are going to look to for extra dough? Why, those supposedly rich gringos in their little gringo enclaves, of course. And there are thousands of towns and hotspots just loaded with gringos in Mexico. So if you're living there and can't leave because you have a business or own property, whatever, you best stay put and huddle with the gringos, because if you go outside that designated area, anything can happen. So then you might say, what about the rest of Latin America? The remises will dry up there too, right? Won't life get more dangerous and go sour for gringos living there too? I'd say not likely, because about 95% of all the remisa dough goes to Mexico. And the other tiny 5% spread out through the rest of Latin America. So anyway, that song Dean Martin so smoothly sings has Mexico in it, and I wish it didn't. But you see, the phrase down Mexico way, it works a lot better than down Central American way, or down South American way, or down Latin American way, you know? Unfortunately, to convey that sentiment, the phrasing for a song like that just wouldn't work. That said, we'll stick with South of the Border, down Mexico way, because it's a very cool song. And most people get the general idea. All right, on with the show. Lately, the vast majority of emails I've been getting have been about quality healthcare here in Latin America and how to get it. And next, I get questions about real estate here in Latin America and that real estate bubble I'm always talking about. And lately, I've been getting quite a few emails about banking in Latin America. Because, you know, with the FATCA and GATCA laws, if you have money in a foreign bank account, you, your name, and all your debts will get directly forwarded to the U.S. Department of Treasury, etc., and maybe another dozen or so alphabet agencies. Sure, that sucks, but should you be worried? I don't know about you, but for me and all the long-term expats I know, it's a very scary thought. Though, remember, not that the long arm of Big Brother will be able to steal your assets when they're in a foreign bank account. They won't. In fact, they can't. But they'll certainly know everything about your financial instruments and monetary movements in and out of that account. Oh, but do know this. The IRS and the court systems up in the States can lock up your foreign bank account if it's got a branch in the U.S., so it's always recommended that your bank doesn't have such ties. But you knew that already, right? So then how do you find such a bank? One that doesn't have ties up in the U.S. or a branch up there, and yet it's rock solid, has been around a long, long time, and has years and years of very good management under its belt. Well, let me tell you, don't search for banks like that on the internet. Although these days all banks have an internet presence. But remember, because it's absolutely recommended that your bank doesn't have a branch in the U.S., when you go to their internet site, it's going to be in Spanish. Which means 90 to 95% of expats and gringos can't read the forms nor fill them out. So then what do? Either come down, ask around, go to the gringo bars and such, and find out what banks they're using. Not a very good idea, by the way. Or you find yourself a local, trusted, honest Latin lawyer. I know what you're thinking. Honest and lawyer rarely appear in the same sentence. That said, there are tons of lawyers in Latin America, so finding one is easy, but finding a good, honest one is not. In fact, if you go searching for lawyers in gringo expat bars or in gringified areas, Every disheveled gringo will tell you about his lawyer and try to hook you up as long as you buy him a drink. The fact is, where you find a lot of gringos, you'll find a lot of Latin lawyers making a damn good living off them, inevitably leading to higher prices, gringo prices, and frivolous overcharges because lawyers know. Gringos are very good clients. They pay in dollars, they pay on time, and they rarely speak or read enough Spanish to slog through a simple contract, meaning they're pretty much at the mercy of their Latin lawyer for whatever he says they should read, do, or sign. Sounds like a recipe for disaster, doesn't it? Well, it certainly can be. I know a lot of gringos who've been gouged and have had very bad experiences with their Latin lawyers, but almost always that occurs on the gringo tourist trail. Now, that's not to say you're not going to have a bad or sour experience or two with your local Latin lawyer, even if he's a nice, honest guy. I've been through that myself. Just always remember you're in a different culture, the land of mañana time. So definitely, there will be times when things don't get done to your satisfaction or within your time frame, and you will get pissed off at your lawyer. So your mission should not be to go for a ball-busting whirlwind of a Latin Perry Mason. Your mission should just be to get a good, honest one. Then, in time, everything will work out. Then at least you won't be in the dark and you won't get gouged. But for sure, the longer you're down here in Latin America, the more you're going to get pissed off at your lawyer. Here's my advice. Remember one thing. You all got what I call that gringo advantage, meaning you're detailed people compared to Latin Americans. Why do you think they call this the third world? Because the people down here are at the top of their game? No way. You've grown up in a competitive business and professional climate up in the States, wherever you come from. Stateside, it's survival of the fittest, and down here, even idiots and morons drive nice cars, have bodyguards, and have thriving businesses. You know how up in the States, if something's mediocre or subpar, it just kind of fades away or goes broke? That's certainly not the case down here. So remember, as far as your Latin lawyer, when you feel he's coming up short, whether you realize it at first or not, it's kind of your job to teach him the finer points of gringo details, because he was brought up in a culture that does not know or respect those things. And the best way to illustrate that example is to see what first world franchises are doing up in the States. They're moving to Latin America and cleaning up. Why? Well, again, the competition is ruthless up in the first world, and those big franchises and chains are not making the money that they used to. In fact, a lot of them are pretty much imploding. But when they come down here, it's the 60s and the 70s all over again, and that gringo advantage kicks in. For example, you've heard about all the trouble Walmart's having up in the States now. They're closing down stores and, well, things are looking kind of bleak. Well, guess what? Walmart is the number one employer in Latin America. How'd that happen? Especially when only 5 or so years ago you couldn't find a Walmart to save your life. And now they've got thousands of stores. That goes for Kentucky Fried and Domino's Pizza, Taco Bell, Dunkin' Donut, IHOP, even Dairy Queen. So while up in the States, owning a franchise like that is no guarantee of success anymore, down here, they're cleaning up. They're on the upward slope of a massive Latin demand curve. But where were we? Oh yeah, we were talking about putting your assets in foreign bank accounts that don't have branches up in the States to keep them out of the reach of the long arm of Uncle Sam. By the way, you'll find a lot of gringos and expats have made some big mistakes in selecting their banks down here, because they didn't get good advice or they just checked out the internet. Which is why, if you're serious about this, meaning getting your dough out of U.S. banks and into a foreign bank account, one of the best ways to get yourself set up and not get screwed is to come down to my July Latin American Insider Seminar, where we'll go over all that stuff in great detail. That's where you'll meet some honest and straightforward professionals. And of course, we'll talk about the right banks to use. We'll show you first world hospitals and specialists and healthcare plans we recommend for gringos that just blow away anything you could get up in the first world that'll cost you less per year than the Obamacare penalty. We'll show you so much stuff you'll feel like you're drinking from a fire hose. You have to get your boots on the ground down here and see it to believe it. So to get started on your plan B, just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2016 seminar link at the top of the page for all the info. And remember, the $500 per person early bird discount ends on May 1st. Oh, and remember, the cost of the seminar includes your 6 nights at 3- and 4-star hotels. Which reminds me, all you guys and gals out there who've been sending me emails asking about which flights to take and what airfare is going to cost, just talked to John Galt last night, and he spoke to a lady who said she's flying in for around $475 round trip. Now, that's a deal. I guess you do that by going through the hub at LAX. So it looks like there are some very good deals out there right now, so do check out the airline consolidators like Obits, Priceline, and Cheap Air, etc. But I digress as usual. Anyway, another great way to preserve your assets and keep them completely out of the reach of the long, bony arm of Uncle Sam, as well as keeping assets out of the reach of U.S. creditors and exes and judgments, bankruptcies, and frivolous lawsuits and such, is to have land and property outside the U.S., preferably in Latin America, because that's what this show is all about. Now, of course, you've heard me say over and over again, there's a big real estate bubble here in Latin America. It really is a renter's market. In fact, in a lot of places, rents are actually going down, a sign of massive oversupply and the bubble starting to crack. In any case, it might sound like there's a contradiction here. If there's a big real estate bubble, you don't want to buy in at the top, no way, but yet you should have land or property in Latin America to keep your assets well out of the reach of lawsuits and creditors and exes and Uncle Sam. So then what gives? You know, if you go on the internet and you check out Latin American properties, you're never going to get a deal. You're going through U.S. gringo intermediaries and people who speak English. But when you're down here with boots on the ground, you'll see that there are lots and lots of desperate sellers popping up. Signs of a cracking bubble, too. So my advice, again, is always come down to the Latin American country of your choice and rent for at least 6 months. And during that time, start hunting out those desperate sellers. If you keep your eyes open and plan things right, you're bound to find the condo or house or residential tower or gated, guarded community of your dreams. But I have to stress again, you're never going to find that on the internet. You have to come down and get boots on the ground yourself. And even if your Spanish sucks, if you come to my Latin seminar, for instance, we'll do a show and tell. And you'll find out exactly how to find those desperate sellers. And remember, John Galt has that Latin concierge service with bilingual ladies that'll take you around and show you properties and anything else you want to look at, like schools, hospitals, MDs, dentists, health clubs, golf courses, etc., and the best off the gringo tourist trail, vacation and sun and fun spots too. So whatever you're looking for, they'll help you find it. But let's talk a little bit more about land and housing and the bubble. Now, I'm finding through emails, of course, that a lot of expat gonna-bes and wannabes want to build their own house exactly the way they want it, the house of their dreams, which sounds counterintuitive if there is a big real estate bubble here. Why? Because when the market really starts falling and the prices crash, there will be a vast surplus of houses and properties for sale. Even now, in most Latin markets, they're building like crazy and there's an oversupply. I mean, that is the bubble. Though, even in the face of all that, for some people, it's always been their desire to build the house of their dreams. You know, in any other place but Latin America, I'd say it's a very bad idea to build a house. But you have to remember, like I said in the last show, I think it was the last show, you could build any beautiful first world style house for $25 to $35 a square foot. Whereas up in the States, the average cost is $125 a square foot. That's 4 to 5 times more. So in the end, even in a big real estate bubble, you can't go wrong building your own house. Though, of course, you'll have to get some boots on the ground to find the right lot or the right piece of land to build on. And for that, again, you just check out desperate sellers. Because as you know, in a big real estate bubble, land is terribly overvalued too. I mean, come on, why pay $80,000 for a nice lot when you can find a desperate seller and get it for $20 or $25? But remember, when dealing with desperate sellers, you'll have to pay cash. Don't even think about bank financing. Why would you do that anyway? Who wants to get on the mortgage treadmill again, huh? Which brings me to this very relevant email. It starts, "Dear Johnny, want to thank you again for your radio shows. Still deciding where to go, and I'm listening to your comments about the real estate bubble. Does this apply also to raw land or just high-end homes? Fact is, I've been perusing Panamanian real estate in Chiriaqui, and the prices seem pretty high. So, Johnny, the question is, do you know any websites with affordable Panama or Latin American real estate? I know some folks that recently bought a small farm in the Caldera region, just south of Boquete, and that seems like a nice location. Do you expect that region to be part of the bubble? In other words, should I wait to buy? My current business plan is to start a little farm. I don't want to put too much money into a house. Still putting a plan together, but ready to get started. However, I don't know if I could escape the first world or not, due to personal issues, but I haven't given up yet. By the way, did you see what they just did in Colorado? It's chilling." She's referring to the GOP cutting Trump off the ballot. Then continues, "Johnny, since you have been in construction, can you tell me if they would approve this particular house?" Then she sends me a file of what looks like a kind of a domed mushroom Mad Hatter slash Alice in Wonderland style house. Like, it just kind of grew out of its green, foresty surroundings. Rather cool, actually, and if you're checking out my YouTube channel, you'll see the photos. Then finally she says, Johnny, do you know of any Christian agrarian communities in Central or South America? Seems like this kind of information is especially difficult to obtain on the net. Then she says, if you need a consultant fee to answer these questions, please advise. Thanks. Hey, Barb, you don't need to pay a consulting fee because we're talking about it on the radio. But, you know, any of you guys and gals out there who want some very personal advice for your particular situation, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and we'll hook up with a phone or a Skype consult to hash out your personal plan B. All right, then let's talk about this. She's asking if the Latin American real estate bubble applies to just raw land or high-end homes. Well, the bubble's certainly blown up everywhere on the gringo tourist trail, and it's well underway in most medium and large-sized cities. However, as you travel outside of those medium and large cities and start heading out in the boonies, hitting small towns occasionally of 5, 10, or 20,000, you'll see that the bubble effect is not so strong at all, perhaps non-existent because there's not a lot of movement in the real estate market. Now, here's a little tip you'll never find out about unless you've got a lot of boots on the ground down here. Many single-family homes in Latin America are constructed in fits and starts. In other words, someone buys a lot, they sit on it for 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden, the ground floor goes up. Then it might look like it's abandoned for a year or two. Then all of a sudden, a second floor goes up. And finally, it gets finished, or sort of finished, and people move in. That's because, you see, in almost all of Latin America, there's no final inspection required to move in. You know, of course, that in the U.S. and Canada, anyway, you have to have a final inspection or else. That's why if you drive around Latin American residential areas or even out in the boonies, you'll see a lot of buildings that aren't finished at all. They look abandoned. Just black structures with a lot of rebar sticking out of them in various stages of construction. You think they're abandoned. But most of the time, they're not. It's just that the owner is waiting for another influx of cash, a lot of times from remises from an illegal family member up in the States, to get the next phase underway. However, down here now with the big real estate bubble in full bloom, many, many Latin builders and homeowners who haven't finished their projects yet are running short on cash. Or maybe that illegal family member in the drywall business in Cleveland lost his job or got deported back and no more remises. That's why more and more these days you'll see a lot of unfinished projects in very nice neighborhoods that have signs on them that say, for sale, se vende, in Spanish. And some of them say, se vende, for sale, ganga, G-A-N-G-A, which means cheap. That's when you know you've got a desperate seller by the huevos or cojones. We're talking about people who don't even have enough dough to finish off a project. A lot of times you'll see these projects finished to the point where the windows and doors haven't even been installed yet. And of course, the outside's not finished and painted either. Why would it be? In fact, all these projects are the color gray, like gray concrete and cinder block. And down here, they have a special name for unfinished projects like that. They're called works in gray, or obras, which is works, in gris, which is gray. Obras in gris. So if you see in one of the local papers or real estate magazines or on a bulletin board, or there's a sign out front that says, Obra in Gris, that means you got yourself a desperate seller. He's tapped out and wants someone to take it off his hands. So then what if you're interested? What if it's a great location and a great site in a great neighborhood? Well, you hire yourself a Latin architect for a day. You pay him maybe $50 or maybe nothing because he hopes to get the job of finishing it. So you go out to the site, and you let him decide what's necessary to finish the place off. Oh, and by the way, you might not like or be happy with the final design, and you might ask that architect what it would cost to add this and add that, extra bedroom, garage, whatever. And here's something else you probably never heard discussed before. A lot of times you can get one of these works in gray, maybe a third to a half done already, simply for the price that guy paid for the land. That's how desperate these sellers can get. In fact, I know of a gringo who bought such an unfinished house like that in a very nice wooded, guarded, gated community for a grand total of something like $25,000. So now he's got a piece of land that's worth at least that with a house that's a third to a half done already. You get the picture. But again, you have to have boots on the ground to find these deals. You're never going to find them on the internet or by walking into a gringo bar and asking if anyone knows of some great real estate deals. Then you truly have marked yourself as a clueless gringo and deserve a walletectomy. And then even if you've found a work in gray that you couldn't get from a desperate seller, you're going to need a lawyer to do the title search on the land. Remember, they have no title companies in Latin America. It's up to your lawyer to make sure not only the land is free and clear and the taxes are paid up, and that the guy who's selling it is the bona fide owner, too. So then, what happens if you find a great deal like that on a work in gray? Should you be concerned that the owner who's selling it might still owe on the construction materials in the house? Well, you don't have to worry about that, because believe me, the hardware stores and the construction materials companies only take cash, check, or a credit card. Seems like when it comes to construction and building, almost no one but the very big construction companies get a line of credit. That said, if you're looking to buy one of these incompleted houses, works in gray as they're called, you don't have to worry about what's been constructed on the lot. You just have to have your lawyer check out the land itself and make sure it's registered in the municipality correctly and there's no liens on it. And next, Barbara, our emailer, mentions she's been perusing Panamanian real estate, and she says the prices seem pretty high. Well, of course they're really high. It's on the Gringo tourist trail. And Panama, along with Nicaragua, Colombia, and Belize, have been touted by International Living and other rags like the Overseas Investment Letter, etc., as the next Costa Rica. And if you listen to this program or ever had boots on the ground in Costa Rica, you know all the good, cheap properties were picked over 10 or 15 years ago. Now, she talks about the Caldera region in Panama, just south of Boquete, and she says it seems like a nice location. It is a nice location, but you're stuck with a lot of gringos, and it's going to be gringo prices. Is it part of the bubble, she asks? Of course it is. Should I wait to buy, she asks? Yes. Again, you're never going to find deals surfing the net on your couch up in Colorado. Again, you have to get boots on the ground, and I'm not talking about 1 or 2 weeks either. I'd say if that's your plan and what you're looking for, you have to spend at least a month in whatever Latin location you're considering. And remember, during that time, you're going to have to find a bilingual person who knows exactly what you're looking for and can scout that stuff out ahead of time before you get down. And you'll have to find your lawyer during that period, too, and have a few meetings with him. So is a month with boots on the ground enough? Well, it depends how well prepared you are before you get down. And the question always is, do you have to know Spanish or at least a little Spanish? Well, not at all. Not if you hire a bilingual translator slash girl slash guy Friday. And, of course, Skype with her and set up some plans and an itinerary well before you get down. And like I said before, you'll have to hook up with a local architect to check out the property and the structure, and then maybe have him draw up a preliminary cost analysis and finish plan on how the house will look when it's done. And at that point, you could head back to Cleveland or Colorado and have the architect draw up a complete set of working plans for a contractor to get started. Let's see, what else does she want to know? Oh, she says, Johnny, since you've been in construction, can you tell me if they would approve the building of one of those dome houses she sent me the picture of? Well, here's the thing. Once you've got a lot, you could build practically anything you want. However, if you're building on a lot in a gated, guarded community, sometimes they have a condo or homeowners association that'll set a minimum on the square meters of construction because they don't want you to build a tin shack. Of course, many upscale communities only want nice houses, and why not? However, it's not generally at all about the look of the house. It's about the square footage. More precisely down here, square meters. Everything's in square meters. They don't use square feet at all. By the way, when you see any property or real estate in square meters, just multiply that by 10 and you'll get a very good approximation of square feet. So if a house, let's say, is 200 square meters, you multiply that by 10 and it's around 2,000 square feet. But back to that funky mushroom house she sent me the picture of. I see no problem at all with getting a house like that constructed. However, it doesn't matter if your drawings or design came from the most respected architects in the universe, Frank Gehry, Frank Lloyd Wright, or Frank Lloyd Wrong. No dice. Because the only way you'll get a building permit approved is to have a local Latin architect draw the plans and bring them down to municipality. So you find yourself a local architect, and I mentioned exactly how to do that on a previous show, probably some years ago now anyway. Now, some gringos bring down a complete set of finished plans that they ordered from the back pages of Metropolitan Home Architectural Digest or Better Homes and Outhouses. Well, then you just hand those plans to a local Latin architect, and he'll convert all that to the metric system. No feet or inches down here except in Belize. Then he'll put his Latin country's architect seal on it, take him to the municipality and get him approved for you. So how much does the architect charge? Well, anywhere from maybe $200 to $500. But remember, this guy's starting from scratch, redrawing everything in the metric system. Plus, he'll create an entire list of building materials and supplies you'll need to finish the house. And here's another tip if you're building a house. I always recommend that when you select your architect, you have him select the general contractor, too, and make it part of a package deal. Because, you know, down here in Latin America, selecting a good building contractor or foreman is like throwing a dart at the classifieds in the paper. However, architects know the good, the bad, and the ugly builders, and they don't want ugly or bad. So you're best off letting your architect select the building contractor. And believe it or not, some architects, especially the young ones, will be the building's general contractor too. But that's another story for another show. But let's get back to the email. Finally, Barbara asks, are there any agrarian Christian communities? Well, yes, there are even Amish factions here. Now, you know, Latin America is very Christian, so nobody gives outsider groups like that any trouble, as long as they say they're Christian. In Latin America, to be Christian is all right with everyone, and the last thing you ever want to do in mixed company is to admit that you're an atheist, or ateo, as they say here. Now, imagine back in the 60s and 70s in the States, if someone said they were an atheist in mixed company, chances are in that moment the music would stop, everyone would gasp and take a step backward, thinking you were about to get hit by lightning. Of course, up in the States, it's not at all like that anymore, but it's like that down here, believe me. All you atheists out there, take heed and keep your mouth shut. Now, about those agrarian communities, Christian and otherwise, the best way to find out where they happen to be in a Latin location near you would be to search the internet for the organic farms in your area. There are many organic farms here, since for most Latin countries, agricultural products are their biggest export. That, of course, includes weed and cocaine. Agricultural products too, right? Anyway, all you have to do is locate any of the many organic farms here in Latin America, and they'll definitely have a lead on the local agrarian communities. After all, they're in the same business, right? Growing non-GMO and certified organic or nearly certified organic food. In fact, let's take the beautiful little town of Antigua, Guatemala, up in the Altiplano. If you were to have boots on the ground in that town of around 20,000 people, you'll find there are two or three good-sized organic farms within 15 minutes to a half an hour from the Central Park. And by the way, you'll find out that most organic farms in Latin America are owned and operated by guess who? Expat gringos or Europeans. How'd that happen? Because gringos and expats are the main market for that kind of stuff. Whereas Latins of all classes could give a Kardashian's ass if their food was organic or pesticides saturated or not. By the way, shopping at those amazing outdoor food markets is the next best thing to having certified organic. By the way, at my July seminar, we'll be hitting one of the biggest, craziest open-air food markets in all of Latin America. And I guarantee we'll be the only gringos there. Oops, we're near the end, so do check out my YouTube channel to see the slides that go along with the audio. Do subscribe, it's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.